Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's tomorrow 6:30, Friday 6:30, Saturday at 2:30. Does it? How much does it alter, Ty, a coach, when he's got to? You got one day's less prep to do it, and you have to do it one time. Most teams in leagues, not all, but most teams in leagues also have that happen on Easter weekend during the year, and they pull forward the schedule. They accelerate it up to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But in terms of what it does to your team, in this case, Texas will go Thursday, Friday, Saturday like the rest of the schools in the Big 12 because the Big 12 tournament starts the next week, next Wednesday in Arlington. So it starts 6 days after their final series starts, and in a total of 4 days after the final game of that series. So how much does it accelerate the mindset of your coaching staff, your pitching staff, and things like that about what you have to do to prepare for that?
A lot. But for Texas, though, a good thing for them is they didn't play last weekend. So their guys aren't going to be short-rested 2 weeks in a row. So in other words, if they would have played last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then you move up to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then you move up to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, however that may be, that's moving you a day up every week for two consecutive weeks. So for their defense, or it helped them a little bit. They got a little bit of a break. So going into this week, but in the mindset of a coach, it changes because you know you got you're short a week, and you're short, I'm sorry, a day during the week that they normally would have.
Right.
You hope that they're in good enough shape that one day won't make a huge difference. But you know pitch count-wise, you know innings-wise that it does. And so a lot of time guys start to get their set up for the conference tournament. And not only that, some of these bigger programs start getting it set up for regional play. They won't overextend somebody, their Friday night guy or their leadoff guy on the mound. Maybe they won't extend him if they get up five on in a last weekend. Maybe they'll get him out a little bit quicker, go to the pen a little bit quicker, knowing they've got a short week coming back to him to the tournament. And then even in the tournament, maybe if we're up and we're pitching good, we're playing good, we know where our seating's going to be, we know where we're going to be, then you get him set up again. So it depends on where you are and what your goals are and what you're trying to do. And then there's times when if you're trying to get in the tournament, you're doing everything you can this last week to ensure you're getting in the tournament. And then this next week, everything
into
you
an
can
NCAA
to win
regional,
it. That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. And so there's two different mindsets of how you go and how you approach this. And I'm sure Coach Pierce with Texas is Coach Trout with Texas State and everybody else. They're sitting down at this point going, okay, let's play what if. What if this happens over the next 2 weeks? How do we prepare our staff, or what do we do, or how do we use this? And so that's already playing into these coaches' minds at this point, getting ready.
We saw Tristan Stevens work at inning. I say, look really sharp. His 14 pitches that he threw there, and David Pierce said, they told me before the game, we want to get him a little work. It was Lucas Gordon's day to throw on the side. He said, we either will get him into the game, or if not, we'll get his throwing done down in the pen afterwards, because obviously he'll be the game two starter on Friday night. And like you said, having an open date last weekend helps a little bit. The other thing that comes to mind, and you made reference to it last night, is the academic 20-hour-a-week clock and all that stuff doesn't exist right now. It's in semester break, so it's baseball and eating and sleeping right now for these guys, right?
They love it.
It's like the Christmas break for basketball.
They love it. I'm telling you right now, when they turn in their last Scantron, or they hand in their last, which I still get nightmares of that thing. If you're plugging it in, just go, it sounds like a machine gun every time I put mine in. But when they turn in their last little piece of work, whatever that may be academically, you can watch those guys, and they just go like, oh, just a relief. And then they know in their mind, it's almost like minor league baseball. If you don't get them up, they're going to sleep till noon. Get up, get going, get ready to practice at 2:00, and just they come with a whole nother, bebop in their step, getting ready to go practice and play. And I thought Texas's energy last night was incredible. I thought that their pregame, their in and out was really sharp. Their BP was really sharp. They bounced around. It didn't look like they were at game 56 to me, or 54 or 53, whatever it was. It looked to me like they were at game 10 or 12 yesterday, where they were bouncing around the field. And let me go back and say this real quick, Craig, because somebody asked earlier on Aaron Nixon.
Yes.
And his mindset right now, I thought, in my personal opinion, I thought he was pretty good against Texas Southern. I thought his fastball command was good, and that's what it is for him. I think if you go in there and watch him, his fastball is 94, 95, his first three outs that he goes out there. Obviously, he still has a power slider. Now, if you want to talk, we were talking about last night about a slurve and a curve and a slider. That thing projects right in between both of them, and I mean, it is.
And his wicked. Is 87, 88 on that slider.
Unbelievable. And that is tremendous depth. That's why he gets so many swing and misses on that pitch. But I think he's in a good spot. I think if they're going to probably use him, they'll get him into the back end again. I think they'll use him if right-handed hitters come up, if they've got to get out of an inning or so and they need a punch out or need a strikeout. But I think his mindset's going to be okay as long as his fastball command is good. I think what they're maybe doing, I don't know this for sure, because I did not ask David last night, with Tristan Stevens, who I absolutely think is still unbelievable valuable, and I think you saw a piece of it last night, they're going to use him as a multi-purpose guy possibly, meaning you could close, you could come into a jam, and then if he only throws an inning in game one or maybe 12, 15 pitches game one, and you could look at him coming in on Sunday and starting and or picking up the second half of a game after Morehouse, you know, or somebody like that going, you know, the second half of a game. So, I kind of like it. I ain't going to lie to you. I mean, obviously we loved it when he was throwing good on Saturdays. But I like this positioning for him because it gives the coaches some freedom and some to use him in multiple roles.
A couple of questions on the specs text line. And by the way, we're going to hear Ty's conversation with Coach Pierce coming up in the 11 o'clock hour after the game last night, because there is some interesting revelations off of that. We'll hear that. First of all, why is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday? If you didn't hear us talking, it's because the Big 12 tournament starts the next Wednesday. So it's a quick turnaround. The teams will travel. Right now, I think the plan is for the Longhorns to travel up Tuesday morning, but that could also change depending on what time their practice, their workout time is at Globe Life Field. There could be that involved in it as well. The tournament will begin on Wednesday. So that's part of the reason. Somebody else pointed out MLB Network's intentional talk. Yeah, I think they're going to be down the left field line tomorrow. They're going to be at the ballpark tomorrow. For Grant number two, we're going to get into your question in the 11 o'clock hour about the RPI cancellation contest, and because we talked quite a bit about it last night, so we're going to do that as well. And our friend screenwriter saying, speaking of Jordan Addison, as was the term earlier, where did Fred Biletnikoff play in college? Florida State, if I remember correctly, for the great Fred Biletnikoff there. Jordan Addison, by the way, no updates on his the thought on whether he was going to take a visit to Tuscaloosa, as Jeff Howe has reported on this program. And on Horns 24/7 right now, that does not appear to be in the plan. A couple other Longhorn-related notes. Texas Rowing will be the number one overall seed in the upcoming NCAA Rowing Championships as they look to defend their national title in rowing. They're going to be the number one overall seed for that. And Texas Men's Golf tied for third going into today's final round of the regional tournament in Norman, Oklahoma. If you finish in the top five, you advance to the national tournament, which is at the end of the month in Scottsdale, Arizona. So that'll be coming up toward the end of the month. Somebody asking, was Eric Kennedy able to play the whole game, or did they limit him last night? He was limited. The plan all along was to play Eric five innings. He played five innings. Everything went all right. He drove in a run with an RBI ground out. No issues, no problems coming off the hamstring injury, but it's a slow ramp up, was the way that we discussed it with Coach Pierce. When a guy's coming off a hamstring injury and he's missed extended time, he missed 3 weeks after the initial injury in the Oklahoma series back on, I believe, on April 1st or April 2nd, and came back against Air Force. First game back for him, and it happened in the eighth inning, running out the ground ball, and it was tough on him.
That was a rough night.
Yeah.
If you go back, I mean, a lot of different things negatively happened that night. And what the hard part about hamstrings that some people may not completely understand, if you're trying to come off of a hamstring injury as a hitter, it's even hard to hit. to take BP and to kind of keep your skill set up, because your hamstrings are a part of your swing. When you're trying to stay down flexibility-wise in your legs, trying to keep your legs bent, and you're trying to torque through a swing, your hamstring comes into play, particularly right at the transition of the barrel going through the zone. And it's not as easy as it may sound. Some people think, oh, it's just, you know, just having jog down there. Well, it affects your swing. It's like anything else. It also affects your aggression through your swing. I mean, if I keep going through the swing, is it really going to hurt? Am I going to pop it again? You know, there's a lot of different things that go through a hitter's mind. I thought last night his bat speed was fine. You know, I thought he ran. He knew. I think the one time he ground out to second, mm-hmm. he knew he was going to get thrown out. So he did what your coaches will tell you to do. You get about half a year coming off an injury. Hey, just peel it back a little bit. We don't need you to try to beat out something you're not going to beat out. And so I thought he looked pretty good last night. We talked about this last night. If you're a right-handed hitting lineup, which is what Texas is, and you got a right-handed guy on the mound, you at that point, sometimes that pitcher doesn't have to change what he's doing. It's fastball slider, fastball breaker, whatever it is, something running away from a right-handed hitter. So he gains command and confidence every time because it's the same look, right? So now stick a left-handed every other hitter, or stick a left-handed hitter every two hitters. Now maybe he's got to go to a different pitch, whether it's his changeup, but certainly he's got to go to a different side of the plate sometimes now to throw that breaker. So you're making him do something different. And so it changes their looks up. It changes how they do things. If you're trying to run, with a guy, you know, steal at first base, to have a left-handed hitter in there is always a little bit added extra because it's a blindside to a catcher to first base. So there's a lot of added value to having a left-handed bat in there. But mainly when you got a right-handed pitcher out there with just a wicked breaker that's just eating right-handed hitters up, it's nice to have a guy to know that breaker, or he's got to go to his third pitch.
It's also the reason why David kind of altered his lineup a little bit, the batting order. He moved Faltini up to the 7 spot, Campbell at 8, and then came back with Kennedy at 9, and it flips back to the top with Hodo to be able to counterbalance with speed,
yes,
in the lineup as well. So
yes,
that was part of the reasoning for doing that.
Yes, and if you get Kennedy healthy enough where he can steal again and run the bases, remember now, if that guy gets on, it's a double.
Yep.
I mean, it's rare that he gets thrown out. His ability to steal bags are good. And the other piece of that, too, he goes from first to third about as good as anybody. And you've seen it too, where it's just a single to the right side. He puts his head down and runs like nobody's business, and you're not throwing him out. So now he's gone from possible scoring position at second to fly ball ability to sack fly to score. And those things, those kinds of things, little bitty things like that, in speed wise, change games and championships.
Yeah, you just recalled something. That's why Coach Pierce knew he was injured the game in Oklahoma, or a game in Arlington against Oklahoma, when he pulled up at second, going from first to third on a single to right. And so he called out to him, "Norman, you all right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm all right." And he said, "But I could tell he went." And then when he came to third on a ground ball, then I knew he wasn't right at that point. And ironically, that injury, the genesis of that hamstring injury, came from running down a ball on the outfield. It wasn't from running the bases, but then it was exacerbated on that. And then, of course, he was out for 3 weeks and then came back and then hurt it as well. Somebody else had asked me last night, I think on Facebook, had asked me about, you know, where was Mitchell Daly in the lineup and the way all this works. Here's the flexibility, and it goes to the left-handed bat you're talking about, adding the left-handed bat. Kennedy back in the lineup, puts him in left field. Murphy Staley is over in right field. Here's a guy batting .380, so you want his bat in the lineup. Mitchell is starting to get his swing back in the groove, as doubled on the first pitch he saw last night. He's batting between .245 and .250 right now, but he's starting to get it together. And Dylan Campbell has been playing well, and he had another big hit last night. So there's some flexibility to move those guys around. Staley can play all over the place, and then obviously Daly's a second baseman, and Murphy can play, you know, either in right field, or he really could even play left if he had to, but right field or second base. And then of course Campbell can go left field or right field.
I think to answer that thought, it helps with a left-handed bat, but you know, obviously Daly's unbelievable at second base. I'm not sure since mm-hmm. Billy Bates you've seen a guy play second base like that guy did. And we talked about last night. Sure enough, it happened. First two guys of the game, Murphy, bam, bam, back to back ground balls. Right, as soon as you put your spikes on that and that in between those white lines, that ball's going to come find you. And as hard as them like to call a ball, don't lie, it's coming at you soon enough. But I think it gives them some flexibility. And if you're going to do it, you got to do it now. One of the things I've made as a mistake as a coach is I would wait, and I didn't mean to, but it just would play out, and then all of a sudden I'd make a move late in the game in a tournament play or late in the year, and it didn't work out. But it could have. I wanted it to, but didn't have enough experience. So you got to see what that looks like. So last night I thought was a perfect time for them to go try to explore that. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe they try it a little bit again this weekend to make sure that Eric gets some more at-bats. But go back to the very beginning of the year and think about just how fast that outfield was with Kennedy at full speed and left-handed and being able to cover the left center field gap and be able to close between he and Hodo, closing on balls. And, man, it's unbelievable.
And Austin Todd was in right before the shoulder injury.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and you're talking about unreal speed and closing on balls. And then, to me, Murphy Staley is the epitome of what you want in a college baseball player. Where can't he play? I mean, honest to goodness, I think if you gave him shin guards, he'd get back there and catch and go do whatever you needed him to do. And he to me, has given them so much flexibility. And then, obviously, being able to be the offensive force he's been all year.
All right. And we'll get to some of the other questions, including the RPI questions and some of the other things. Somebody says, is Faltini going to go pro? He's going to get drafted. There's any doubt about that. You're gonna get drafted. So and by the way, that also brings to mind, come Saturday, final game of the regular season, they will is senior day, and they will definitely honor the Longhorn seniors before the game. They will also honor anybody the guys who are in the program who are 4-year guys. Because that could be, you know, especially with the pandemic and everything, you could have redshirted juniors and things like that who may not be coming back to the draft. And that would include, you know, Ivan Melendez, who's a fourth-year guy. Of course, he started Odessa College, but he's a fourth-year redshirted junior. So you would have that. So I think you'll see several of those guys honored as well. All right, when we come back, we'll have Inconceivable when Light the Tower continues on the Horn.